Each of you here this morning, I want us to pause for a minute. We're going to, and we will just beg your indulgence this morning. We are making adjustments on the fly. Brother Truman seems to be having some difficulties this morning, and they are currently, taking him to the hospital. So I want us just to pause and to pray. Sister Iris is graciously stepping in. Janet has gone with her mom and dad to kind of see what's going on there, and so we're going to be asking you in just a moment to take your hymn books, and so Mike, we're going to wing it. And if you can pick it up and catch what we're doing and get it on the screens, that's great. If not, it's okay. But we're just going to make some adjustments this morning and pray that God will watch over our people. And again, God is present with us here, and He will help us as we adjust our worship. And we will continue and just be praying and anxious to hear some word from them as they go to the hospital. Let's just pause for a moment this morning and just pray for them as we begin this service. Father, we indeed are grateful for your love for us. And Lord, we thank you for the faithfulness of our people through the years. And we have known Bert and Truman for a long time. And now, Lord, we just ask that you would be with them, be with Steve and Janet as they've gone with them, Lord. We pray that whatever might be going on, Lord, you already know what it is. We thank you for doctors and nurses and hospitals and resources and technology, and we pray, Father, that you would just indeed watch over Brother Truman and touch him and help them to be able to diagnose. But, Lord, we know that you already know what's going on, and so we pray that you put your healing hand upon them and give them protection and provision, and we'll give you praise in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, thank you for helping us this morning, and we'll continue to worship God.
All right. Well, as we are kind of going by the fly, as Pastor Gary said, we're going to do announcements first, and then we'll get into our actual worship time. So I get to go ahead and say good morning to you all. Again, we have some visitors out there I know of, so we want to say good morning. Welcome to you all. As we do every Sunday, you guys are family, so just sit back, relax, and enjoy the show, so to speak. So we welcome you this morning, and hopefully you guys will have a good time in the Lord this morning. We actually have quite a bit that I need to go over with you this morning. Hopefully all of you had a chance to get a bulletin this morning, and if you would, go ahead and open those up. There's several different things I need to touch on. The first thing is you'll notice that your bulletin is a little full of some extras this morning. Inside your bulletin, you're going to find a couple different things. The first one being your guest registration. If you are indeed a visitor this morning, we ask that you fill that out for us. And when the offering plate is passed, if you can slip that in there, that way we can get to know you a little bit better. We'd appreciate that. Then secondly, you'll find, for those of you that are members, a membership information sheet. We are in the process of trying to update our church directory. So we're trying to get up-to-date information from you all. We're asking that you try to have that in by the end of the month.
Sorry to interrupt, but make sure they understand that's regular attenders.
Okay. Okay, so that's anyone that comes. Go ahead. You don't necessarily have to have your membership here, but if you are a regular attendee, we ask that you fill that out. And it is two-sided. So I had the front filled out, and I was like, there's no place for children on here. And then I just happened to flip it over, and on the back side, is a place for children as well. If you can get that into the church office by the end of the month, that way Sue can start getting that together. Hopefully in the next couple months or so, we can get out a new church directory for you all. And then the last item that's in there is a church survey. The Vision Committee has put this together. We had our district superintendent here last Sunday. So this is kind of in combination or in lieu of his visit. We're asking that at least one survey per family is turned in. Anyone can turn these in, but we're hoping to at least get one per family, and we're trying to have those in by next Sunday. That way we can have the information gathered and compiled for the church board meeting that will happen a week from tomorrow. So there are more copies of this out on the Welcome Center, out in the foyer. So if for some reason you want more than one, you want to take one to someone else, have someone else fill this out. We are trying to get this turned in. We're in the midst of trying to get some feedback on you all, maybe to meet more of your all's needs and hopefully better plan for some church growth in the upcoming weeks and months. So that is the extra stuff that is in the bulletin. Now to your bulletin. And I'm going to try to be real quick about this. If you're part of the finance committee, we will have a brief meeting directly following service. Men's softball, we're going to be having two teams this year, but practice will be at 2:30 this afternoon. We're going to shoot for the big field over at the park, but if it is in fact being used like we did last Sunday, we'll meet directly behind the church in the big field. Then tonight we have our small groups, our meeting. If you are not a part of a small group and maybe possibly want some more information or want to know what you need to do to get plugged into a small group, see me, see Pastor. We can give you a little bit of information as far as how many small groups there are, what some of the curriculum is that they're discussing. But also tonight we have a regular Bible study that will be here at the church. The kids and the teens will also be meeting at the same time. But that is all tonight at 6 o'clock. Then for you ladies, tomorrow evening, the Ladies Fellowship Council will be meeting at Empire Bank at 6 p.m. Dinner will be provided, and I believe you're going to be discussing the calendar for the upcoming year. Steve is not here, but I know he'll want me to make mention of choir practice at 6:30 this coming Wednesday. For Easter, we are doing a couple different songs from some of the older cantatas that we've done in years past. If you have been or want to be a part of that, that is 6:30. We also have Bible study at that same time. Then how many of you saw the Welcome Center had a little tote overflowing with Easter eggs this morning? Easter is in 2 weeks. Every year we have an Easter egg directly following service. In years past, we've had as many as 1,500 eggs, I believe. So that requires participation from you all. What we need is for you to either grab a bag of eggs, take them home, fill them with candy, and bring them back. Or if that's a little too much for you, just go out, get the candy, bring it back, drop it off at the church office, and we'll get those eggs filled for you. But we have 2 weeks to Easter, and we'd like to have those done as quickly as possible. That way we can kind of have a count on how many eggs and how many kids, how many dozens upon dozens of eggs each child can have. So other than that, look to your bulletin for any upcoming events. Brother Steve is going to come. He's got an announcement for the children's department.
Good morning. I think most of you know who I am, but for those who don't, my name is Steve. I am the children's director here at the church. And I love working with children. It's a blessing. I know God has called me to work with the children. I just love the children of our church, and I appreciate having the opportunity to work with our children. With our children's pastor, Pastor Jill, moving on to her full-time job, and we are thankful that she has that opportunity, but it has left a few holes in our children's ministry and some opportunities for some volunteers.
Right.
So I wanted to just address you today and let you know some opportunities we have to serve. Currently, we're looking for someone who would be willing to lead the children on Sunday nights. And also we need a Sunday school teacher for first and second grade children. And we always have opportunities for helpers. We have children's ministries going on Wednesday nights, obviously Sunday mornings with children's church and Sunday school as well. So if you feel led to work with children, please get in touch with me. I urge you to get in touch with me. Very approachable, and won't get you to do anything you're uncomfortable with, but working with children is a blessing from God that gives you the opportunity to do that. And I just pray that there are some volunteers out there that will be willing to do that. And that's all I have. Thank you so much for giving me a few minutes.
All right. Thank you, Rusty.
All right. Well, at this time, we're going to ask for you all to stand. Find someone that you do not recognize this morning, or maybe you haven't had a chance to shake their hand, and greet one another in the name of the Lord this morning.
Morning. It's good to see everybody. Today is the first Sunday of our new church year, and after today, I won't be doing the mission moments. When we were having our elections, our nominations for our elections and so forth, Carolyn Stevens spoke up and said she would like to do mission moments this year, and I said, great. And so I think it'll be good to see, have a change and see what all she can come up with. But she did ask me if I could do today for her, so I am going to go ahead and do that, and I thought it'd be a good, give me a good opportunity to kind of tell you what's happening and going to come up for the new year. Carolyn will be taking it over, and some different ideas coming about. But Ruth just gave me an email that she got. We collected, our Lynx missionary Jessica Morris, we collected birthday money for her. Did we collect that, or did we take that out of our budget? I was thinking we were collecting it, but we got a thank you note today. It says, thank you so much for your lovely birthday card and the $40 that you sent. It was such a lovely surprise, and I put it to good use. It was just marvelous. I love getting the mail, and it makes my day. Thank you for your thoughtfulness and love. So just wanted you to know that those that we do give to, we do get to hear back from them occasionally. Another thing I want to mention, I got an email this week from Deborah Gill, and she said that we had recently sent off 20 more Evangel hats. We have a group of ladies that are doing those, and I don't know what that total makes now. I'll have to get back with her on that, but that's going really well. But Pat gave me some information today. So all of you ladies that are making Evangel hats, or kids, or whoever it is that's involved with all of this, we don't want you to send those off anymore. I'm going to be sure and try to talk to Deborah We have a group that's going from our district to Ecuador this fall, and they have asked us to bring those with them on their mission trip to Ecuador. So we want to continue to make those. We just want to save them and let our mission trip people take that with them this fall. So keep up the good work. We appreciate it. And when a person accepts Jesus as their Savior through the Jesus films, they are given one of those hats to be able to be taught how to use that hat in explaining the salvation story. So that's what the purpose of these Evangel hats are. If you're interested in learning more about them, if you want to make them or provide supplies for them or anything, I know you can see Carolyn Stevens, you can see Deborah Gill, I think Linda Lewis has made them before, and there's a few other people that are making them. If nothing else, see me and I'll get you in touch with the right people.
Thank you, Jennifer. Jennifer has led us quite a bit down the road in mission knowledge and helping us to learn about our missionaries and what we can do. And I'm having the personal privilege of going to Ecuador this summer. We'll be leaving on July 15th and returning July 24th. We're taking the Jesus Film Pack with us. I don't know how many of you are familiar with the new Jesus Film Pack. Several years ago, they started the Jesus Film with Youth for Christ. Youth for Christ has entrusted our church almost exclusively with using the Jesus Film. That's not saying no one else can use it. It took six or seven people to carry in the first Jesus Film Pack with all of the things they had to take. Then they came out with the new 40-pound pack, which is solar-powered. You carried one person, carry it on their back. And I thought, man, what a great advancement. Well, I called the Jesus Film people the other day, and I said, we need the Jesus Film pack to take with us to Ecuador. And he said, well, the newest one, is one you carry on the plane like a camera bag. And it can show 200 people the Jesus Film at one time and can be carried like a camera. So I'm pretty excited about God opening that door. It's just a place that we can tell people about Jesus. So I'm excited about that. I hope that excitement kind of runs over and you get caught up in it. It's such a privilege to serve a God that loves and cares. My personal Bible reading has been in the book of Psalm, and what a privilege we have to serve the Lord, and what a privilege to be a part of His kingdom. In mentioning that, we're going to have our ushers come at this time to receive our weekly tithes and offerings. Father, we are blessed to be together today in your house. We ask your blessings on our tithes and offerings, and we bring them into the storehouse. We pray in Christ's name. Amen.
Well, as we are changing things up a little bit this morning, we're going to ask that you all turn to these little gray things that are in the back of your pews. It's been a little while since we've had to use these. I think we are going to have the words up on the screen, but we're going to start out with hymn number 262, He Lives.
Savior is in the world today. I know that He is living. Whatever men may say, I see His hand of mercy. I hear His voice of cheer. And just the time I need Him, He's always near. He lives, He lives. Christ Jesus is today. This is my story.
to the Lord in prayer this morning. We want to be mindful of those items that, as always, are included within our prayer list. And there are some things, obviously, that we want to make a matter of prayer this morning. It's good to see Linda. I understand that she had some difficulties through the night and made a journey to the hospital, and so we're glad that she's able to be with us this morning. But pray for her to have some relief from some hives that afflicted her through the night last night. Indeed, also, we've got some folks, Dee and Ruth, both have, I think, some upcoming surgeries perhaps this week, and we want to be remembering them. And then, of course, Brother Truman, who we have just prayed for at the beginning of service, but pray for Bert and Truman and Steve and Janet as they have made a left and gone to the hospital. And so we appreciate your help this morning as we've made some adjustments to the order of service and things. And then I have a great group of pastors that I meet with on Monday mornings, and they represent several different churches here in our community, the Assembly of God Church, the Methodist Church. There's been different ones at different times that have been a part of that, but one of my good friends, Lance Ogden, is pastor of the Higher Vision Church, and they have just moved into a new facility. They've been meeting, I think, at the Senior Center, but they've just moved into a little more permanent facility, a temporary permanent facility. How's that? So, I assured Lance that we would be praying for them. They are trying really hard to have an internationally and culturally mixed congregation that ministers to several different folks that are beginning to move into the area and to have a world vision as well as we do with World Missions. And so you remember Higher Vision as they've moved into their new facility this morning. It's just across the highway from us. Over there used to be a place called the Village Church there, but it's been empty for a couple of years. And so they've moved into that and remodeled and done some things. We've tried to help them along the way. And so remember them as well as our sister churches as we're all meeting together. You know, one of the things that our DS impressed upon us and has been talking about for several months now is the fact that our main focus is not the filling of our pews, it is the depopulation of hell. And so I believe that as we do that our pews will fill. But we need to have our focus in the right direction. And so let's continue to pray. I trust that you have, last week the DS challenged us on the back of that bulletin that he left us. There was a place for you to write four names of unsaved friends or loved ones that you're going to be praying for. And perhaps as God presents the opportunity to allow you to witness to. So I hope that you've got that in your Bible and that you've filled that out. And indeed, as we pray and each time we go to prayer, that you're remembering those names and continuing to lift those folks up. God has opened the door for me to have a couple opportunities this week to share with folks. And so I trust that God is also presenting opportunities to you as well. Let's stand together this morning. Do we have something to sing? We're going to sing together. The altars are open to you if you have need of them. And if you need a place to lift up praise or to lay down burdens, you feel free to come and make your place, and we'll lift our voices together in prayer. Father, we are indeed grateful for the privilege of being in your house to fellowship together as the family of God today. We thank you for the weather that we've been enjoying the last week. And we love this time of year. We anticipate the next Sunday, Palm Sunday, the Sunday after that, Easter Sunday. Lord, what a great season of the year. And there will be people that perhaps will come into our midst that maybe don't come at other times of the year. And so, Lord, we want to be prepared. We want to have open doors. We want to have open hearts. We want to have open minds that indeed, Father, we can receive your children, whomever they might be, to come in and to worship and to fellowship with us. Father, we want to reach out to them with a welcome hand, and we want to reach out to them with the love of Jesus Christ. And Father, help them to realize that if this is the place that God would lead them to, that they can have a home here, that they can have a place where they can grow, where they can learn the word, where they can hear your voice, and that you can give them guidance and direction. That Father, indeed, this would be a great place from which they could launch their lives and their ministries for your kingdom's sake. Father, we thank you for all that has been accomplished through the years. We thank you for those who attend regularly and faithfully here. We thank you for all of the ministries that are carried on by volunteers, people who are willing to give of their time and their resources, Father, to indeed put the message of Christ out there. Lord, we pray this morning for this group that will go out with Pastor Don from the district to Ecuador in the summer, Father. We pray even now that you would prepare the places where they will set their feet. We pray, Father, that you would make open hearts receptive there, Father, that as the Jesus film goes forth, that indeed there will be people that will respond to that message of the gospel. Father, we pray that you would help us as we've been challenged by our district superintendent, as we want to share more this morning about our responsibility to share our faith. Father, we pray that you'd help us. You said make the most of every opportunity. And so, Lord, we pray that as those things come our way, that we indeed would seize the moments and that we would be prepared to share our faith. Father, we're going to do our best as a church to help our people to have resources in hand, to have knowledge of how to share Scripture and how to share their story and indeed be able to witness to people who maybe don't know you, Father, people that are hurting and lost. And you said that you were moved by with compassion as you saw the people like sheep without a shepherd. And so, Father, we want to be moved in our heart and our spirit. And, Lord, we want to be a lighthouse to our community. Father, we want to be an equipping station. We also want to be a place where our people can find fellowship and nurture in the Word of God. Father, we pray for those, Lord, who maybe have been ill this past week. We know that there are some that are on the list that are going to be having surgery, some that have just recovered from surgery. Lord, we pray that you'd put your hand upon them as the great physician and bring healing into their lives. And Lord, we pray that you would particularly be with Brother Truman again this morning as they are taking him to the hospital to see what the situation is there. Bless the extended family members. Give them peace and comfort and calm and assurance that indeed you have everything in hand and it's all under your control. And Lord, that should give us peace in our heart and mind. We thank you that you said in this world you'll have trouble, but take heart, I've overcome the world. And we know that greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world. And so, Lord, we want that peace. We take that peace that passes all understanding and the assurance that we indeed have a great and an awesome God who is there for every situation in our life, for every need. Lord, we commit our lives to you this morning. In this service, we give you praise in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen. Well, indeed, Brother Steve was on the schedule to share our special music with us this morning, and so he has gone with Janet to attend to Truman and Bert as they're going to the hospital, and so we want to move right on into the Word of God this morning and the things that maybe he would have to say to us. If you have your Bibles, we'd want you to turn to 1 Timothy chapter 2. 1 Timothy chapter 2. Verses 1 through 7, and we want to take as text this morning. There are indeed, as I was reading this week, some things that kind of leapt off of the page and caught my eye and my mind and my heart that went along. We kind of want to come out of the overflow of the challenge of our district superintendent last week. And as we start a brand new church year, and as we have many opportunities, and as we're only a couple of weeks away indeed from the Easter season, we want to seize the opportunities to reach out to those in our community. This is a great time for you to invite friends or family members. We will indeed have a little bit of change of scheduled services on Easter Sunday. We will not have Sunday school that morning, but we will indeed have a continental breakfast from 9 to 9:45. And then at 10 o'clock, we'll begin our worship service and have a great celebration of the resurrection, and then end in time so that we indeed will have our Easter egg hunt for our children and get you out of here in a timely fashion so that you indeed can enjoy the day worshiping God and indeed with your family and your friends, and we'll not have a service that evening. But it's a great opportunity. It's a time when something different is happening, and indeed we don't have necessarily breakfast here every Sunday morning, so it's another opportunity for you to invite friends and family to be a part of something special, something different, and so we try to give you those opportunities. Now tonight, if God continues to deal with me in the way that he has, it is my plan For those of you who come here, several of you will be out in your small groups. But for those of you who are going to be here with us tonight, we're going to put into your hands resources. We're going to talk about some different ways to present the gospel. We're hoping to have maybe a little interaction and a little role play in our time together tonight. And we're going to put into your hands some that are familiar, maybe some that are not so familiar to you, but to give you the resources so that you have different ways to present the gospel, and you can take that method that maybe fits into your personality and the way that you connect with people. And we're going to do our best to equip you so that you indeed can not only pray for those lost friends, but when God opens windows of opportunity, that you will feel resourced and equipped to indeed share the gospel message with those folks. So let's read together this morning from 1 Timothy chapter 2, beginning at verse 1. I urge then, first of all, that request, prayers, intercession, and thanksgiving be made for everyone, for kings and all those in authority, that we may live peaceful and quiet lives in all godliness and holiness. This is good and pleases God our Savior, who wants all men to be saved and to come to a knowledge of the truth. For there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself as a ransom for all men, the testimony given in its proper time. And for this purpose, I was appointed a herald and an apostle. I am telling the truth, I am not lying, and a teacher of the true faith to the Gentiles. We are aware of the fact that when God created man, he created him for his fellowship. He created for him a perfect environment. Things in the garden, it couldn't have been any better until man messed it up. And then it got to be kind of tragic. God intended for things to go on the way he created them in the beginning. There would have been a wonderful society. We can only imagine what things might have been like. But we know the facts. We know the history. We know the story that Adam and Eve indeed ate of the fruit of the tree that they were instructed not to eat of. And that brought sin into our world. It created a gap between God and man and the relationship that he had originally created them with. And from that time on, he has had to work at the remedy situation. And we know the history of the Old Testament, that indeed there was the law that made man aware that he was not doing as he should do. And then there was the sacrificial system where animals would be slaughtered and blood would be offered. And indeed that would be for the atonement of man's sin. But the issue that happened there was, while man's sin could be atoned for in that measure, it didn't change his heart. He did not make that connection to God as God really wanted and God really intended. And so God came along then with plan B, which I don't totally understand all these things, but we know there's a verse of Scripture that says that it was there and in place before the foundation of the world. So God must have had an idea of how we were going to be or what we were going to do or not do. But indeed, he gave us the opportunity then through Jesus Christ to have salvation. We know that it is our mission, it's God's intention for men and women and boys and girls to come back into relationship with him just as we have. If you look in the passage of Scripture that we read as text in verses 3 and 4, it says, "This is good and pleases God our Savior, who wants all men to be saved and to come to a knowledge of the truth." So God wants all men to be saved. We know that there was early in history, there was a theology out there that said God had pre-selected who was going to be saved, that he knew indeed who was going to choose. It is our belief that indeed God has foreknowledge of who's probably going to receive. But the truth of the matter is, and the statement of Scripture in black and white, is that God wants all men to be saved. There's not anybody that's ever set foot on this planet that God didn't want to experience salvation. We're reminded as we look over in 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 9, "The Lord is not slow in keeping his promise, as some understand slowness. He is patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come
to repentance. So we know that it is God's desire, we know that it is God's mission for all people to come into a saving knowledge of Him. He wants them to be remedied from the sin that we inherited from Adam and Eve and their fall in the garden. God has planned and prepared, and He desires for everyone to come back into relationship with Him. We know that indeed the second person in the triune Godhead, Jesus Himself, had a mission for the world to be saved, because we know that in Matthew chapter 28 and verse 19, that if we indeed look back as He was departing this planet Earth, He said to those who were standing there on that day in the 19th verse, "Therefore go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit." His commission to His disciples was that we were to be out and about trying to bring people into a faith, trying to bring people into a knowledge of Him and what He had provided for them. We know that if we go to the third person of the triune Godhead, the Holy Spirit, that in Acts chapter 1, in verse 8, Jesus speaks and it says, "But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth." So as Jesus departed the premises, it was indeed the job of the Holy Spirit that in coming to this earth, one of His capacities, one of His empowerments was that we were going to be witnesses. Now, what's a witness? A witness is not only someone who observes something, who experiences something, but indeed a witness is someone who's called upon to tell of what they know and what they saw. If we were going to go into a courtroom in our society today and they were to call a witness, it would be someone who knew something about the case that either the defense or the prosecution felt like could help prove their point, and they would put them on the witness stand and they would ask them questions, and that witness would state the facts as they saw them or experienced them to give credibility to the case of whichever side was indeed trying to prove a point. And so the Holy Spirit empowers us to be witnesses of what we have experienced. We have seen and heard things. We have experienced things in our personal relationship with Jesus Christ, and now we are being called upon to bear witness to that, to tell about that, to share our faith. God's desire is for every person to be restored in relationship to Him as they were in the garden, as Adam and Eve were. He wants sin taken out of the picture. He wants the penalties and the problems of sin taken out of the picture, and He wants to provide for us a solution. And so the mission for us is that we want to help others come into this knowledge of Jesus Christ. God has chosen to use us. And our job is to fulfill that mission by indeed sharing a specific message. We have a message to share, and that message is that God has a solution to our problem. The message is that God so loved the world in John 3:16 that He gave His one and only Son, that whoever would believe on Him would not perish, but have everlasting life. If we can get people to believe, if we can get them to understand the message, if we would look in Romans chapter 3 and verse 23, we would see that verse of Scripture that reminds us all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. There is not a person that's born on this earth that is not born inheriting the problem of sin. Not because they've committed sins, but because they have a nature within them to rebel against God's authority. Therefore, they commit sins because they're born sinners. All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. And we go on in that same book of Romans and we find that the message continues, and it says that the wages of that sin is death. Literally, probably physical and spiritual death both, because sin corrupted things, sin brought forth disease, and so the very deterioration of our bodies, this very thing that we have talked about this morning, where one of our great faithful members, Brother Truman, was experiencing physical health difficulties this morning and was transported to a hospital. That has happened because sin brought corruption onto this earth. If things were perfect, if Adam and Eve hadn't messed up, that wouldn't happen this morning. Sin creates all kinds of problems. We ought to be mad about sin. We ought to be upset at the devil. We tend to blame God for all kinds of stuff. God is not the problem. God is the answer. Indeed, the devil and sin are the problem. This is the message that we have to get people to understand. We have to get people to understand they have need of a Savior, that they have a problem, and that there is someone indeed who wants to help them. And God has provided through the gift of His Son, Jesus Christ, that instead of the wages of death, that we indeed can enjoy the gift of God, which is eternal life. And there are passages of Scripture that indeed kind of give us that whole story. I want you to listen to this passage from the book of Ephesians. It kind of sums up the thing and in Ephesians chapter 2, and it kind of gives us the whole picture. As for you, you were dead in your transgressions and sins in which you used to live when you followed the ways of the world and of the ruler of the kingdom of the air, the spirit who is now at work in those who are disobedient. All of us lived among them at one time, gratifying the cravings of our sinful nature and following its desires and thoughts. Like the rest, we were by nature objects of wrath. That's that sin nature that we inherited from Adam and Eve. But because of His, that's God's great love for us, God who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ even when we were dead in transgressions. It is by grace you have been saved. So this grace has been extended to us even while we're sinners. God has made this plan. He's made this way. But because we were dead in transgressions, by grace you've been saved. And God raised us up with Christ and seated us with Him in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus, in order that in the coming ages He might show the incomparable riches of His grace expressed in His kindness to us in Christ Jesus. For it is by grace that you have been saved through faith, and this not from yourselves, it is the gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. For we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. Those 10 verses house the entire gospel story. Everything we need right there is there. And then there are actually shorter passages that kind of give us the same synopsis as well. We can look over in 2 Corinthians chapter 5. In verse 21, and here it is just in a very concise statement. God made Him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in Him we might become the righteousness of God. What a wonderful thing. God has this fantastic solution. We have a sin problem. God made Him who had no sin, Jesus, to be sin for us. He took our place, took our punishment, so that we indeed could enjoy the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. One little verse, whole message. Right there for us to share with others and to enjoy. And then in Colossians chapter 1, we find a passage of Scripture in Colossians chapter 1, verses 21 through 23, that again kind of sums the whole thing up. Once you were alienated from God and were enemies in your minds because of your evil behavior, but now He has reconciled you by Christ's physical body through death to present you holy in His sight, without blemish and free from accusation. There it is. In a nutshell, He has given us the message that we need to share with anyone we might come in contact. It's a simple message. It doesn't have to be complicated. We can simply try to help others realize their predicament, to realize that God has a solution. And right here in these passages of Scripture, we can share these very things, that God has created the answer to our problem. And as we lead people into a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ, then we also can remind them that God has the ability to take care of us all the way through to the end. For we can look over in 1 John chapter 2 and verse 1 and read these words. My dear children, I write this to you so that you will not sin. But if anybody does sin, we have one who speaks to the Father in our defense, Jesus Christ, the righteous one. And so, it is His desire that we live in obedience. It is His desire that we learn the Word and live by the Word. But here's the deal. If something goes wrong, if there's a mishap, if we make a mistake, if we commit a sin, we do not have to give up. We don't have to let the devil get on our shoulders and say, hey, just stay down with your face in the dirt and grovel a little while because you got no hope. The great news is that while God has equipped us through His Holy Spirit to make right choices and to do right things, if for whatever reason we fail along the way, we still have the opportunity through Jesus Christ to confess, to repent, to be restored, and to continue the journey on to victory. God has provided for everything. God has set up for us to be a successful Christian. He's fixed it so that we indeed can be successful in our journey. He bridges the gap through Jesus Christ, and He provides the Holy Spirit as a guide and leader for us along the way, and has provided forgiveness if indeed we need it. So the mission is that God indeed wants everyone to come into a saving knowledge. He wants everyone to make it into His heaven. He wants everyone to be able to live in harmony and fellowship with each other as He intended for things to be from when He put Adam and Eve in the garden. He has given us the message. He has given us all the information we need to tell people how they can be saved, to give them the prescription. You know, when you get sick, you go to the doctor, and the doctor gives you a prescription, and you go to the pharmacy, and the pharmacist fills the prescription, and you take those pills, and indeed, some of them are designed to offset your symptoms, and others bring a healing process and facilitate the body to do the work that God designed it to do. And there's a solution. Right here in the Word is the prescription. God has given us the message that we need to be sharing with the world. And He has chosen to do it through us. So not only are we aware of God's mission to let everyone be saved, but we are aware of His message to do it through Jesus Christ, and we are aware of His choice that we have ministry to do. Let me ask you a question. Are you involved in ministry? You remember last week the district superintendent talked to us about the fact that we're all priests, that every New Testament believer is a minister, that He indeed has given us a ministry. And I realize that we're all of different personalities, and some people do this more aggressively than others. But the thing about it is, and the title of today's message is, it's every Christian's responsibility to share their faith in the way that God has enabled them to do so. We don't have to do it just like somebody else, but we have a responsibility to share, to tell, to give others a way out of the... How many of you had somebody tell you? How many of you heard this gospel from someone somewhere? What if nobody had told you? What would it feel like to stand before God on Judgment Day and say, hey, you know, nobody told me. I didn't know. And maybe it was somebody you knew personally. Maybe it was a physical person you could touch. Maybe it was somebody you heard through a radio. Maybe it was somebody you saw on a television screen. Maybe it was a Gideon who left a Bible in a motel room somewhere. There's all kinds of ways that people have done things. But every one of us heard the message because somebody else was putting the message out there. Whether it was our own families and devotional, personal devotional times, family altars, somebody was sharing their faith. And God has given to us that ministry. And I want us in our hearts and our minds this morning as we prepare to receive communion, to sit at the Lord's table. I want communion this morning to be not only, it's always a time of thanksgiving. It is always thankfulness for God suffering what He suffered to bring to us salvation. It's always a time of anticipation and expectation of His coming again. But I like to view communion as a time to make fresh commitments, a time to let God speak to my heart. And I'd like to challenge you this morning that as we come to the Lord's table, that this morning be an opportunity to say to God, as I receive these elements that represent the suffering that You went through and the sacrifices that You made for me to know You, I commit to You to do the ministry that You lay on my heart, the ministry that You present me the opportunity to do. I remind you, and our DS used this passage of Scripture last week, and so we'll not linger here, but I just remind you that indeed in the book of Acts, that the Apostle Paul sensed his responsibility and indeed accepted that responsibility. And in the 26th chapter of the book of Acts, verses 17 and 18, the words of Jesus, it says, I will rescue you from your own people and from the Gentiles. I am sending you to them to open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to light, and from the power of Satan to God, so that they may receive forgiveness of sins and a place among those who are sanctified by faith in me. I've given you the message. I am sending you. I'm not sending the person in the chair next to you, although I am sending those people. But it's not your responsibility to tell them they're supposed to go. I'm telling each of you individually. Jesus said, I am sending you, each one of you. Each one of you is going to come in contact with different people on every given day. Some of you have coworkers, some of you have family, some of you will cross strangers in parking lots and grocery stores and department stores. And there are some people who can aggressively just chase people down and try to present the gospel to them. And I don't know that that's for everybody, but I promise you that if you want opportunity, if you'll pray for God to give you opportunity, if you indeed will have our names on your mind that you pray for, God will give you windows of opportunity to share your faith. I was sharing with our group on Wednesday evening that I was very challenged by this message last weekend, and I had begun to write down some names on my bulletin, and one of them was my neighbor across the street. This past couple of years, he's had some heart issues, and one day the ambulance came and picked him up and hauled him off. But he's been doing pretty well. And God had been speaking to me about trying to check on him just to make sure that his soul was okay. And so I was really challenged by this message, and I said, okay, Lord, you know, I was talking, praying Sunday evening, Monday morning, and Lord, if you'll give me an opportunity, I'll try to do that. Well, I drove out of this parking lot and to my driveway on Monday at noon for lunch, and who was standing at their mailbox but my neighbor across the street? And the Lord said, okay, ante up. You know, put your money where your mouth is. And so I stepped out of my pickup and walked across the street and said, I just want to tell you, I appreciate you being my neighbor, and you've always been there to support me. He's a kind of an auto guy, and when he sees my car, if I'm working on my car, he always comes over to check on me or whatever. And I said, I just want you to tell you how much I appreciate, you know, you're being a good neighbor. And I said, I want to be a good neighbor to you. And I said, I just want you to know the Lord's been dealing with me. And it's almost Easter. Great time of the year for the church. And so I want to take the time to invite my neighbor to my church. And I was going to use that as kind of a lead-in to get into personal spiritual things. And his response to me was, well, I appreciate that, but we've been going to, and he named a specific church and told me how they were getting involved in things. And so, you know, I'm thankful that indeed that I found out something I didn't know. And there was a certain sense of fulfillment and satisfaction in knowing that I had done what God had laid on my heart to do and that I wasn't disobedient. And that's what Paul was talking about here, that he couldn't be disobedient to this. God had given him a direction. Hey, here are all these people out here that are lost, and I want you to speak to them and give them an opportunity. I remind you in 2 Corinthians that indeed he specifically says to us that he has given us this responsibility. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, in verse 11, it reads this way, since then we know what it is to fear the Lord, we try to persuade men. What we are is plain to God, and I hope it is also plain to your conscience. And then moving on down to the 18th verse, it says, all this is from God who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us, he gave us the ministry of reconciliation. We are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making his appeal through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. That's our ministry, to try to persuade men to be reconciled to God. It's our responsibility. How many of you remember, some of you maybe have been around long enough, there was a little chorus that when I was a little boy, that's a long time ago, but there was a chorus we used to sing, everybody ought to know. Everybody ought to know. Everybody ought to know. Everybody ought to know who Jesus is. Yeah, and that's our responsibility. Everybody ought to know. Our responsibility, God has chosen to do it through us. And there might be someone who won't know if we don't tell them. And in my mind, I just think everybody in America has heard of Jesus. How can anybody in America not hear Jesus? But in 1983, I had the privilege of meeting a young Nazarene football player who was the left offensive tackle for the Los Angeles Raiders. I was in Bolivar, Missouri, and I was singing at a place where he was speaking. And he married one of the Raiderettes. He had grown up in the Church of the Nazarene. But when he was one of four Christian guys at that point in time on the 52-man roster. And when he met this Raiderette, a cheerleader for the professional organization, she was 21 years old. She was a beautiful blonde lady, and she had never heard the name Jesus. And he led her to Christ, and they later began to date, and then she became his wife. Can you believe that? In Los Angeles, California, one of the biggest metropolises in the country, that there's somebody who doesn't know about Jesus? So we never know. But everybody ought to know. Everybody ought to have the opportunity. And ours is the ministry of reconciliation. God has given us a responsibility, every Christian's responsibility, to share their faith. It says that he implores us to be Christ's ambassadors. Ambassador is someone who represents their country in another country. An ambassador is someone who speaks and represents the head of their country. An ambassador is someone who speaks with the authority of their government and country. Well, the Bible tells us that when we became Christians, that God moved our citizenship to heaven. So now here we are in a foreign land. Ambassadors. We have a message. Jesus said he gave us authority. We have the opportunity to speak on God's behalf. Will we accept that responsibility? Have you filled in those blanks with those names of those lost people that you're praying for? Have you begun to ask God to give you opportunities to speak to them along the way? I'm going to ask Pastor Don to join me this morning. Sister Iris, I'm going to ask you if you'll come and prepare to play something. For those of you who are visitors this morning, and we want to share with you, we know that there are some places where communion is exclusive to the actual membership of that church body. I'm glad to tell you this morning that in the Church of the Nazarene, communion is exclusive to those people who know Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. So if you are here with us this morning and you are from some other persuasion, but you know Jesus Christ, we welcome you to the table this morning. We want to celebrate with you. We want to sit with our brothers and sisters at the table. And so we ask you to join with us. And in just a moment, we'll ask these two sections of pews to come by, Pastor Don here, and these two sections to come by me to receive the elements, take them back to your seats, and then hold them until we're able to take them all together at the same time. But as we prepare our hearts this morning, in just a moment, we're going to pray. Lord, is there anything in my life that's not as you want it to be? Lord, help me to know if there's anything not like you. Let him bring that to the surface, and let's just confess that and give it to him. God wants all of us to be in. God's not trying to keep people out. The message is, I've provided a way for everybody to be in. You can be part of the in crowd. I wasn't necessarily part of the in crowd in school. I don't know if you were part of the in crowd or not, but I wasn't necessarily part of the in crowd. I'm here to tell you this morning, you can be part of the in crowd. God wants you to be in. This message is for everyone. He wants all to come. So we're going to pray. If there's anything between home and heaven, not as it should be, this is the time to confess it to God and indeed give it to him. Let him make you victorious afresh and anew. But would you consider with me this morning, while we're thanking God for his suffering and sacrifice, while we're anticipating God's coming again, would you use this communion service to say, Lord, you've given me a ministry. It's part of my responsibility, the ministry of reconciliation. I'm supposed to bring other people to you. So would you help me know how you want me to go about that? The message is in the Word. Give me the methodology, Lord, and I'll do my best. Let this be a time for us to commit to Christ, that we indeed are in. We'll do our best to use every window of opportunity
to share Him with others. Would you stand with me today and let's pray together? Lord, we are thankful this morning for the opportunity to come to this table. We're reminded of the scripture where you called the disciples around you just before your death. You challenged them and you shared this meal with them. You said, we'll not do this together again until I come again. And so, Lord, we've been observing this way ever since. And this morning, fresh and anew, we come to this place in this time. We ask you, Lord Jesus, to just look into our heart and soul. And Lord, if there's something in us that's not like you, if there's something in us that's not Christ-like, if there's something in us that indeed is causing separation between you and us, Lord, we pray that you would bring that to surface and to our attention, that we might confess it to you and ask you to deal with it. Lord, we can't handle that stuff on our own, so we ask you to forgive us, to help us to overcome. Lord, that every one of us might come to this table this morning. We thank you for your grace and your mercy, for your wonderful forgiveness, and for your empowering Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. We're going to ask you to begin to come this morning each way and receive the elements and return to your seat, and then we'll give you further instruction as we receive it together at one time. Thank you.
body of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, which was broken for you. Take and eat this and be thankful. There's a song that says, His royal blood now flows through my veins. I'm a child of the King. We've been adopted into the family. And indeed, we are brothers and sisters together. His blood atones for our sins. Drink with great joy. May God's love fill your soul. May it spill over into the lives of others that you meet. May the great message of His love, grace, mercy, and forgiveness spill from your lips into the lives of others. Go.